What? Where have you got that from? Damn.
They put lightning on.
What?
We love that.
We don't know if they did it at the minute. So.
Hey, welcome back.
Yo.
Episode 128. Are we ready?
Mm-hmm.
Cool.
How are we all?
Great.
Right, let's get on the internet.
Show.
Yeah, me and Mikey are sick, I think, but everybody else is. I mean, you're ill, aren't you?
Me and Dave have both been ill.
We're just not whinging about it.
So yeah. we've got a full sick podcast team today. Zach's still on holiday. Hope you're having a great time, Zach. Maybe see you next week. Back next week?
Yeah.
Back next week. Cool. Okay, agenda. Lynn Alden, talking about Japan and US treasuries. Joe Biden administration is weighing in on Bitcoin legislation. US bank has 14 million in Bitcoin ETFs. Private jet charter service is now accepting Bitcoin. GameStop drama. Joe Biden orders crypto mining operations to shut down. El Salvador government revealing how much Bitcoin it owns. And Renaissance Tech is long Bitcoin. And Dear Daves. Cool.
Right.
Bitcoin price first, though.
Just about to come back to $63,000.
Is that a reverse BART, I see? Is that what it's called?
There is very much like that, actually. Yeah, that's a very...
Look at me with my technical analysis.
Pretty accurate as well, that up and down. That was Coinbase going down, was it?
Oh, was it?
Oh, no. It was a couple of days, that.
Yeah, it was back on the 10th that started dropping.
Mm-hmm. The other drop on the right was Coinbase going down.
Yeah.
Is Coinbase still down or not? No. I've not heard anything since.
They're on the agenda, aren't they? They were down for 4 hours. They're still in, like...
I didn't read it out on the agenda.
Not fully operational, I think, or something, but...
No, we didn't tick it. Oh, well, we just covered it there.
Still having an issue, yeah. But that is still frustrating and bad, I guess, in some respects, that they... I mean, they are trading and custodying for most of these ETFs, and they're still going down for, like, 4 hours at a time randomly. Mm. And it's not once. This has happened how many times since the ETS kicked off? It's quite a few.
It's like the fourth or fifth, I think.
Are they scheduled?
No. It was just a 4 hour accidental outage that dips the price yesterday morning.
Mm. Yeah, it never looks good, does it?
It doesn't. And I think they'd have sorted themselves out by now for that. Anyway, sorry.
Okay. So Coinbase bashing done in the first 30 seconds and Bitcoin price done.
Mm-hmm. To finish the pod.
Just get it out of the way.
Right. Okay. First on the agenda then, Lynn Alden says we're bailing out ourselves by making it so Japan doesn't have to sell their massive hoard of US treasuries.
Hey, did we talk about this last week? I can't remember.
No.
We didn't, no.
Yeah. Not the Lynn Alden comment, but the
just how much
Japan.
No, I don't think we did mention
no.
it.
No.
But they do own a...
They own a lot of...
Crazy amount.
Yeah. US treasuries, and they came to an agreement, didn't they, last week, because the Japanese yen has just been dying a death, and then they came to it, US and Japan came to an agreement that they, it was a bit of a weirdly worded agreement, wasn't it, effectively, that was basically saying they're basically going to, US is helping them hold the value of the yen up, so they don't have to sell the US treasuries to hold the yen up. Because the US don't want them to sell the US treasuries because it will make the US weaker.
They don't want that dumped.
No, which is kind of scary. They're all kind of like, if you go down, we go down sort of thing. So actually we'll help you stay afloat for as best we can. But while making the scenario worse as time goes by.
Mm-hmm.
But nobody's not really...
Do you know what it has done? It's brought volatility into the treasuries market. So, like, because of this doubt for the everything I read today or the other day, the first time in 45 years, gold is less volatile. So, like, gold is now seen as a...
Less volatile than the treasuries.
Yeah, than treasuries.
Just treasuries in general, not US.
Mm.
Okay.
Which is interesting, because normally, like, in terms of... safe havens, treasuries are the first port of call for those nation states, and now it'd be like, oh, so this is...
When was the last time they were volatile?
Hmm?
When was the last time they were volatile?
I only know that comparison to gold, so like, then that was the first time in 45 years that it's been flipped. So it's interesting, it's global instability, everyone's kind of seen it as a you know, a bit of a deck of cards now, isn't it? Everything's being propped up by America.
That's exactly what I was just visualising in my head.
It's a deck of cards, yeah.
Yeah. I didn't realise the debt that Japan were actually in. Like, they are the most in debt country of all the developed nations in the world by substantial margin as well.
Wow. I don't
like, US debt is 124% of the GDP, and Japanese debt is 263% of their GDP. Hmm. Wow. Which is just staggering.
Mm. They're a weird country, Japan, aren't they, in the sense of... No, offensive. Yeah, that sounds really bad. No, let's just leave it there. Yeah. Let's move on. No, they, like, things like, I think a lot of people think of Japan as like a futuristic, technologically advanced country, which in many ways they are, I think, in certain respects. But I think there's a lot of issues within the country, like we're seeing here with the financial side. There's like is it Japan and South Korea, is it, that have quite a problem on the baby front? So South in terms Korea. Of...
Yeah, I think the Japan aging population.
Most of Asia, I think, is having the same problem.
Yeah. So then they're not able to come through. There's not enough younger generation to help them. What will support the older generation? Mm-hmm. It's going to become a bit of a house of cards a little bit as well.
I mean, that's becoming a global problem though as well.
Apparently so. I saw that the other day.
Like the UK is pretty much doomed, so I've heard.
No, the Alamans are a perfect microcosm for it. There's a huge, the oldest population
aging
in Europe.
Aging population, very much like Japan. Yeah.
The old pension deficit.
But we're still having kids at an okay rate as such, whereas the South Korea and Japan, I think, are at such an alarming rate. But now, as I did see that, the US, UK and stuff are now getting slowly worse and worse, and people are not having kids as much. So the population's slowly...
Yeah, but doesn't that come back to the whole economy? Like, you don't want to bring kids into a world where everything's so expensive. Like, kids are expensive.
Oh, if you thought about the cost of children, you'd never have them.
Yeah. And so don't know why it's... Was there a reason?
So I think it's just more countries getting access to, like, contraceptions and just understanding.
Women being educated as well.
Yeah, women having choices and stuff like that as well.
It is. I think it's a careers-driven, a lot of careers.
But it's regionalised because it's the global population is still rising.
It's like...
This was what this thing was about. It's slowing though, isn't it? It's been rising, but I think it was slowing. I'd have to read detail. So
I got a great podcast I'll share with you about it.
Maybe that can be one next week.
None of your podcasts that you listen to are any good. In fact, they anger me, the people that you listen to.
That's really hard.
I don't know.
They're great topics though. One was about that. One was exactly about this.
But it's never mind it being a great topic if you can't listen to the person talking. You know what I mean? If it's like,
I think we should move on that.
Podcast review show.
Japan have been in economic trouble for ages. This isn't news. This is just a constant development.
Yeah, but nobody really talks about it, do they? They're just kind of left to do their own thing. I don't think like it gets as much attention as.
Well, that's because it's now become every American's problem.
Yeah, that's now the attention. Mm. But yeah, it has been ignored, I guess, over the years for the most part.
Okay. Well.
So yeah, paying attention, but watching.
Everyone's propping up various bits and pieces. Like I've read I think the Chinese government are the biggest purchaser of property in China.
Yeah.
Like private property. So they're propping up their markets. Everyone's doing it.
Is that not what I shared with you the other day?
No,
I've heard. Come from a source.
Did you?
I shared it with you the
other day. Yeah, right.
I don't remember. Source me, bad source.
Yeah, so I wouldn't believe a word of it.
Yeah.
Just a pack of lies if it came
from you. That was about residents of China owning less, but actually the UK is getting into a worse state. It was the comparison against UK and China, wasn't it? Of individuals actually owning property.
Mm.
Yeah.
Okay, is that all with Japan? Yep.
Next. But are we saying, how's that compared to Bitcoin? What are we saying in terms of, this is a Bitcoin podcast. Mm. So we're saying what was deemed a safe reserve is now being thrown into somewhat doubt.
Yes.
And we're saying...
Treasuries being the thing you're talking about. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then we're seeing a bigger movement of companies putting Bitcoin on the balance sheet.
Mm.
And it might be in response to this.
Rather than
that is something we're seeing.
Well, would we... I know we're a Bitcoin company with slightly different mindset, but would we put a treasury on our balance sheet? Would we buy a treasury, which we don't and we never have done?
No.
But we'd buy Bitcoin and put Bitcoin on the balance sheet, which we have
done. Definitely. And then you're seeing MicroStrategy's share price, who is the proxy for Bitcoin. They've just been listed on a major index because of
the crept in now?
Not the S&P 500, another one, MMCSI, I think.
Right.
But another global index to say that this is
is now part of that.
In terms of their market cap. I think it's based on market cap. But
nice.
I mean, their share price has also been outperforming Bitcoin.
Yeah.
Which is, for me, like something I can't really get my head around. Why would that be outperforming Bitcoin?
I guess you've got the combination of you've got the company performance plus Bitcoin.
Is it excess?
You've got a combination, but I imagine, I think originally people thought it was because they couldn't access, traditional investment routes couldn't access ETFs until ETFs came around, but then ETFs have come and MicroStrategy's continued. So
but is it a cheaper way to get access to Bitcoin than the ETF fees? But the ETF fees are pretty low. But does it not? It doesn't have tie-in or lock-in, does it? You can get pretty liquid in terms of getting in and out.
I guess so. I honestly don't know. The only people I know are the ones that are buying it.
Yeah, but it's... all right, so if you're buying MicroStrategy
shout out
as a proxy to Bitcoin,
yeah.
Why? Yeah.
That is unfortunately the case. A lot of these things, you know, the person that knows is the person that's buying.
Mm.
Why did they buy that rather than buy an ETF or buy Bitcoin?
Yeah, I just don't know. But anyways... outstripping the Bitcoin price anyway, substantially. Anyway, cool.
Let's move on.
Okay. Next topic is US President Joe Biden says Biden would veto legislation that would allow highly regulated financial firms to custody Bitcoin and crypto.
This is just another overreaching statement rather than actual thing they've done as such, but it's just we're seeing a lot of that from the US, aren't we, at the minute, where it's now not just SEC, this is saying like Biden's administration are going to step in and do things, and we've literally just seen this yesterday as well, saying about, which is a topic I think in a minute, which we may as well tie in a little bit, which was the GameStop stuff.
Mm.
And GameStop, Roaring Key, whatever it's called, the GameStop guy from Reddit back in the day. I say back in the day, it was only like 7 years ago, wasn't it? 6 years ago. he's back on Twitter. So Roaring Kitty, he's come back on Twitter and all he's done is tweet like meme videos, basically. He's not really done or said much more than that at the minute. And everyone's just gone crazy for it. And that has caused GameStop to rise dramatically over this last 24 hours.
Just because he's come back on Twitter.
Yeah, that's why.
What are you following him?
AMC and GameStop, yeah. Yeah, I followed him back in the Reddit days when he was doing this. It was part of, because our industry was quite heavily paying attention to that at the time. And I never got involved and bought any GameStop shares, but we were watching that go crazy.
So I presume everyone knows, but in terms of people that don't, he was long GameStop for fundamental reasons, and there was big institutional shorts on GameStop. When you're shorting something, it becomes expensive if the price is rising. So he might have actually bankrupted some.
He bankrupted some hedge funds.
Well, he didn't, but the rise in the GameStop price caused by the FOMO generated by this guy actually bankrupted some institutions that were substantial institutions that were heavily short GameStop.
Yeah.
And they were short because of the high street game retailer. When everything actually is moving away from high street and it's moving away from physical games, it's more downloads. So you can see why they were short it. But I don't know how people think about market shorters. I kind of think there's a moral issue on it in terms of, I understand that you do kind of need it in the market in terms of what people are doing, but they are betting against the success of a company.
Mm-hmm.
They're betting against, they're betting on people losing their jobs and high street closure, which for me is kind of a moral issue.
Negative it's like, for the economy.
Yeah.
You would want to support, especially if shorters that are then involved in the company in any sort of way, but you would want people to be, you know, how do we make this grow? How do we pivot this? How do we innovate? Not the negative side of it of let's fingers crossed it fails and the market price crashes. Because you're also betting on individual shareholders losing their money.
But that's the way you're making your money, there's other people losing their
money. Yeah, exactly. So you just thought, okay. So I quite like this guy because he was against morality on his side.
He was against
David
the man.
And that, Goliath.
That was the whole thing. He realised people were just manipulating things on purpose to make money for themselves and screwing over a lot of, like you say, people that worked in them companies and jobs at the same time. So it was, David and Goliath and the moral thing.
And there's this one guy in his basement. Looking at the numbers.
And the film is good. The film is actually...
The dumb money film.
Dumb money film, yeah.
Yeah, that is pretty good, actually.
So yeah, I think...
So he's back and it's just caused this pump again?
Him coming back, yeah, it's caused GameStop and AMC, is it, I think, to pump.
Yeah, if you remember last time, Robinhood actually closed buys on it. You could only sell GameStop. Yeah. So that, probably because of their third-party pressure for their liquidity provider, but that's huge uproar in terms of...
Yeah, the movie makes out that they did it because they weren't fully one-to-one collateralized, was it? And they were then basically in the hole themselves.
Yeah, they were pressured into doing it by... Yeah, in terms of their mechanism of actually buying and selling those shares, they were pressured by a third party, but they literally made it so you could only sell it.
Yeah.
Which obviously...
Which they did get...
Helps the short holders.
They did get done in the end for that, I think.
I don't know, did they get fined?
I think they got a fine and something else. Slap on the wrist, I'm sure. But they... Yeah, so them stepping in and effectively, it was Robinhood last time as a private public company doing that. Now we're talking about the US government stepping in and stopping it.
But under the guise of protecting...
Who?
Yeah, but they did protecting shareholders or protecting... They always say individual investors.
Yeah.
But like to mean it's the man on the street who's going to be, you know, who's getting involved in this FOMO.
And
they're protecting against FOMO. But the biggest loser last time tended to be the person shorting it.
It was, and then depending on when people were coming out of it, I guess, as well.
So who are they trying to protect is something that needs to be looked at.
It's questionable.
I just don't get like this. Is that they're basically saying that the president will veto what the SEC decide, but the president chose the SEC?
Is that that's for the regulation piece, is it?
That's for this custody of the Bitcoin for banks, basically, yeah.
Saying how it would disrupt the Securities and Exchange Commission's work to protect investors in crypto asset markets.
Yes, but by him vetoing their work,
he's the one who appointed the SEC chair and just.
If you scroll up, they said it was to protect innovation as well. So you're just like, okay, you're gonna close down a market, growing market to protect innovation.
I'm intrigued at that.
That makes no sense to me.
I don't know. You know, I'm almost.
That's what they said, though.
Yeah, no. Innovation happens a lot of the time when you're backed into a corner, and there's no choice but to innovate and do something different. And that is
out of necessity, largely. Yeah,
you end up doing that because of a reason. If they say to the banks, no, they're talking about big financial banks here that's saying they can't custody Bitcoin and crypto for their clients. If they say they can't, then banks have to innovate or slowly die potentially and become blockbuster style because if crypto Bitcoin ecosystem takes over the traditional financial system in the next over many decades, then banks either become blockbuster or join. But if they can't join because they're not allowed to custody, they're going to have to branch off and do different things and innovate and find a new way to be part of that economy and part of that world. So they would have to innovate, which is kind of true.
Yeah, but innovate on fiat.
It doesn't say what it innovates on. It means they could create a new company. It kind of breaks the banks up a little bit in some sense, the bigger banks up, because they would have to, or they go and buy like Coinbase or go and buy one, or they go and basically get involved in crypto exchanges. That
you're saying it's actually protectionism is making it could break down the banks a little bit, in which case it would be a positive.
There's a couple of different ways you could look at this. As might not be their intentions, but the outcome could create different directions of things.
Because you are worried about American monopolization in terms of centralization of the banks, right? That's a decreasing number of banks.
Yeah.
So that is a problem.
Yeah.
And if you're saying now these banks can't custody, you have to diversify and innovate in a different way.
Yeah.
That could
so
help to decentralize their monopoly.
US crypto exchanges all of a sudden are already there and blossoming. Mm. You don't want the banks to just swallow them up eventually and take them in, and then they'll just become banks and they get swallowed up, and that problem continues.
Mm.
But actually then there needs to be more crypto exchanges, because the bank doesn't want the like Coinbase to have all the fun. They want to go and do it themselves. So they have to start one themselves and create a new company and do that, or they get involved in a different one. But then that's an opportunity for people outside the banking world to start a crypto exchange and try and run that and try and do that.
That's interesting. So it's actually very pro Bitcoin in that ilk, because it sounds like there's going to be less access to custodying for the individual, because we know a lot of the individuals have bank accounts, and the easiest pathway would be, you know, get Bitcoin within your current banking system.
Yeah.
But what you're saying is actually this is kind of pro Bitcoin, because it takes that power away from the banks.
Pro the other companies in our ecosystem already existing, and the new ones to potentially come. Because if banks then just take it on, then no new ones will come and no new innovation will come, because you'll just be sat on the legacy companies' reliance to actually innovate and do something in the space.
Yeah.
And they won't. So in some sense, I don't know if they mean it in this way.
I like to think they do.
It kind of.
Joe Biden to me seems switched on.
He's his same yeah, switched on guy.
So to me, I probably is
what a hero.
Probably is what he's thinking. He's a Bitcoiner at heart.
I'm not sure we know it. Switched him on when he goes on to talk half the time.
four more years, mate.
Different, yeah. There's different ways to look at these things sometimes, I think. It's not always like an attack, a negative. It may even be negative in terms of what they're thinking and the administration themselves may be thinking, but actually the outcome and the output could be completely different. I wouldn't care either way if they block that. If I'm honest, block the banks from custody and crypto, that's great for the crypto exchanges in the US.
And if they don't block them, that's great also.
And then they've allowed
Bitcoin in more people's hands.
They've allowed access to it via, or they've allowed institutions to come to, which gives it credibility. Mm-hmm. So either direction, I don't think it really matters too
much. There's only one real winner.
Bitcoin. Mm. Yeah. So I don't think it really matters which way it goes.
Sweet.
Mm. Cool. Next topic. US bank has $14 million in Bitcoin ETFs per SEC filings. US's fifth largest bank has $450 billion assets under management.
Of course they're going to have.
Just the US
bank. Bitcoin ETF.
So I've got a couple of things on that. So there is a lot. There's a lot that I've got. We're seeing a lot of big institutional buyers of the ETFs now, whether it's banks in all different countries. We've seen states.
We get into the reporting periods after the ETFs have been released.
Yeah.
It's all going to come out in the wash.
Wisconsin? Was it them, the state? Mm-hmm.
They've got some.
They had a lot, actually. $99 million, was it?
Yeah.
It was a lot. But I think some of the banks take with a pinch of salt, because I think there's been... So my very little understanding on some of this is, like, say, for example, these guys have got 40 million. 40 million is an absolute drop in the ocean for them, for these sort of banks. It's a nothing. And they potentially don't have it for an investment purpose. They have it for a liquidity arbitrage, money movement perspective, where they're doing something to make money on it. They're not doing it as an investment, if that makes sense. Mm. So they've just got it incidentally because they're doing arbitrage on some other.
I think it's just, if you've seen the decline, we were looking at some data this morning, declining correlation with S&P 500, right? So it just makes sense for them to actually have.
Yeah, but $40 million is not an investment from a $500 billion, right, $400 billion asset under management company. I'm saying I don't think it's an investment from them. I think it's an incidental outcome of them holding it on their balance sheet because they were arbing something or hedging something or doing something.
It's more for a function.
Well, I think the only way you're going to tell that is if on the next filing, if it's grown.
The JP Morgan one, I think, was explained to be that. So the JP Morgan do have Bitcoin on as well, the ETF on it. But I think it was explained at some point somewhere as to why, and it was not to do with an investment. But everyone's treated it like that because it's on the balance sheet.
Or is that's what JP Morgan is saying?
Yeah, but it was such a drop in the ocean. I think theirs was like 10 million or 11 million as well, wasn't it? Mm-hmm. It was nothing in comparison to what they... If it's an investment, you're putting more than that in as JP Morgan.
It's a start.
I mean BlackRock filed
slowly creeping there. It's like their advice of putting 1% is just grows into... BlackRock should be having 15%, 25%.
BlackRock seeded theirs with 10 million just to like kick things off and have that liquidity available. It was like that's a nothing. I don't believe it's JP Morgan themselves buying it as an investment.
Okay. I think it's hard to infer from one data point. I think in the next few returns, you'll be able to see trend.
Yeah, we'll start to learn.
So. Mm. But Wisconsin, is that the same with them?
No, that's more an investment. That's $99 million, a significant amount. It's they hold as well.
$100 million though.
So who is in charge of Wisconsin? Who is running that? What's the typical Wisconsin demographic? Where is it?
Where does Sailor live?
what's made them? I've never been to Wisconsin.
It looks like a little retirement type
it's
place.
Over near, it's like up in the middle. So I know this only from, is it that 70s show? The TV show that used to be on. That was in Wisconsin, I think, yeah.
What's the big cities in Wisconsin?
You're asking too many questions now.
Michigan? Why? Or is that just the lake? That might be the lake.
It's a lake, isn't it? The lake's attached to it. Milwaukee?
Right.
Doesn't sound great, does it?
So I think it's meant to be a nice place, as far as my understanding.
Milwaukee, nice, Madison, Green Bay, Appleton.
It does look nice.
I've heard of Milwaukee.
It looks very unassuming, doesn't it? You wouldn't. It doesn't look like the sort of place that would, you know.
It's very nice.
Yeah, it looks all right, Bitcoin.
My go.
It wasn't on the radar of all those, you know, the governors and stuff that were running for election, and we're all pro, like the Miami governor wanted to go to the conference and was all talking very pro Bitcoin.
Yeah.
And I'm not sure who's in charge of treasury decisions on a state level, or whether who can actually make the decision to buy.
Assume the treasury department is.
So we heard a lot of rhetoric a couple of years ago about those governors and other people in charge saying, "Oh, Bitcoin, Bitcoin, Bitcoin," and yet it's the left field. It's Wisconsin that have come out.
Tony Evers.
That guy.
Look at Tony.
Look at him.
He's the governor, isn't he? But then,
but yeah, does that the
treasury department?
Who knows? I don't know who. But is there, there's a Bitcoiner amongst them hiding.
Well, there's a bit. It'll go to a vote as well. Like guy? In
John Lieber's the treasurer.
Yeah. So he'll be. Is he head of it?
John Lieber Twitter account is something like Maxi Lieber.
Yeah.
Laser eyes on it.
Yeah. Laser eyes on it.
But like we know, like even the Alaman here have been. It's gone to Treasury about putting Bitcoin on the balance sheet twice.
You've personally failed the Isle of Man.
I have personally failed
because
that,
you haven't managed to convince them to do what Wisconsin have. Is there an exchange in Wisconsin?
I wasn't allowed to sit in front of the Treasury Department to
Did
make
you try hard that. Enough?
It went to them twice for a decision. It's been rejected twice.
Third time's
well,
charm,
no,
right?
Actually, the second time they actually come back and said they weren't against it, but it would have to be done through one of their investment managers.
Have you followed that up with them? Because if they had, where would they be now?
So they have the funds for the government, for example, they end up sitting in loads of different fund managers as such. Mm-hmm. And for example, was like KPMG one and someone else and something. So you've got to then go to them and get them to do it within that fund, within that pot. But none of them are allowed because it's not on their criteria of what they're allowed to invest in and what they're allowed to put money into.
Right.
So the Treasury's department was saying, oh yeah, you can go and do it if you want, but you have to convince one of these guys to go and do it. But they were happy for it. But they knew full well that they couldn't actually go and do it. So it was basically a no, but in a polite no. Well,
really. It's very hard with governments to find anyone in charge, isn't it? Anyone that can actually make change.
That was
an individual.
We were talking to Treasury to do that at that time, but then that decision then came back after their committee meeting.
How long ago?
Once was like back in, God knows, 2016 or something maybe. And then once was about 2020, 2021.
I mean.
It's been a few years now since then, but there was two occurrences of that happening. Yeah.
But they probably wouldn't have the pension deficit they have now if they'd done.
If they'd done it in 2016. Mm. God, yeah. I mean, we tried and we spoke to them, but I would love to sit in front of the committee when they're making a decision.
You don't
on
want
that,
to be like
they don't
the,
allow
I told
that.
You so, guys, but they could have bought Bitcoin at $500.
$423. And
The annoying part is the people we have spoken to, I don't want to say convinced, they were probably already convinced, but then they've took it through and it gets a vote between the whole committee, and obviously you've got to go and individually talk to all the committees.
If there's anyone to blame for the recent tax rises in the Alaman, it's Danny Scott.
It's me.
Because you weren't convincing enough. You didn't get on with
it. I convinced
it.
The guys I'd spoken to.
You weren't convincing
enough. No, my problem wasn't I wasn't convincing. My problem was I wasn't thorough enough in my networking with the other nine committee members. Only one committee member was within my
It's a pity because I think Isle of Man, knowing what I know, I think they'll be the last in the world. And yet they could have been the first.
They could have been the first.
Mm.
Whenever the UK does it, I imagine. Just what we tend to do.
Mm-hmm.
Follow their lead.
Yeah, it's just a bit depressing, isn't it?
Mm. It is a shame. But
well done, Wisconsin.
Yep.
Yeah. It's a good effort, that. BlackRock's ETF as well.
Mm. Awesome. Private jet charter service CandyJets now accepts Bitcoin Lightning payments.
Yeah, I just threw this in because it was our news.
Yeah. We want to talk about it?
No. That was it.
That's it. Unless no, it's good. So CandyJets, we've partnered with them. They now accept Bitcoin for their private jet charter service. Lots of nice planes. And you can now pay in Bitcoin.
We do already have a jet company that does that.
We were described as a prominent Bitcoin service provider there. Is that your words?
No, but it could
be. I like that.
Bitcoin Magazine.
Maybe. That's the, I prefer that.
That's my main man, Nick, at Bitcoin Magazine, writing nice
Bitcoin
things about
service,
us.
Services provider.
I've been looking for this stat still, because we've been looking at this last couple of weeks where we're trying to figure out how many online like websites now actually, or businesses like that, actually accept Bitcoin payments. So the old historic number used to be like 100,000 or something. It was out of 50 to 100,000. And that heavily came from BitPay. Mm. Then BitPay ended up getting hit with the sanction laws, or not sanction laws, the sanction violations in 2021, 22, was it? 22 maybe. And they got absolutely squeezed. So you couldn't pay like all the websites that were accepting Bitcoin via BitPay, you no longer could pay with a Bitcoin wallet. You had to then pay with a BitPay wallet, which meant it was basically just PayPal. So you had to just operate like PayPal. So if you were paying at a shop in Bitcoin, you had to KYC with BitPay to even just make a payment, which was ridiculous. So you can't expect businesses to continue that, because the volumes, no one would pay with it, and the volumes dropped off. So all their businesses seem to have disappeared. And they now have, they do have on their website, their merchant list. They now say over 250 accept Bitcoin.
250 from 100 grand?
From 100,000. Well, I think it was like 50 to 100,000 region has dropped, which has disappeared off the thing now. Mm. It's down to 250 merchants.
You should be able to find out what they said on Wayback Machine,
right? Yeah, that's what we did. That's what we did in the checks. So, but then they took it off back in like 2019 or something, 2020. They decided to remove it, but now they brought it back in, but it's 250 merchants they have.
God, we've got more than that.
I was going to say, we've got to be close to 250.
Well, we're more than that. So, but so I'm like, actually, when you're saying we're prominent, we are prominent at the minute in terms of Bitcoin payments.
The entirety of the online market.
Yeah. So I'd love to know how many other... So you've got like coin payments and you've got a couple of other ones, but most of them, when you look at their merchants, most of them are like crypto-esque companies that are not really your mainstream merchants.
I know it's more physical, but BTC Maps must have more than that.
That does. Yeah, it's got like 10,000 or something, I think, now. But that, yeah, so that's like the physical in-person payments. But e-commerce, there's not really a place for that where you can find a list of them. And BitPay now seems to have come down to 250, which is, we need to figure out.
A small amount.
We did it. We actually did something back in the day where we spied every website in the world to find any mention of Bitcoin and then any mention of BitPay. So
you should tell us your tech lead, don't you?
Kind of like, a web scrape.
Yeah, like a web scraper, like what Google does when it spiders websites and checks on them and stuff like that, and then records information about the web page. But we just went spidered like the top million websites in the world and looked for the mention of Bitcoin on the homepage, and then looked for like BitPay, and we then gathered a list of all the websites that we believed were accepting Bitcoin or accepting via BitPay. So that was like many years ago now. But it was just for our information to understand what that market size looks like and how that fits. We haven't done that for years now, and maybe someone needs to go and do that and see what that kind of looks like. Because it is a bit...
Is it a dose of realism where people like, could have been falsely inflating in terms of how the adoption on e-commerce sites?
Yeah.
Well, and the reality is probably much smaller.
I think there's a big, like, BitPay were that big, prominent one back in the day. And they did the Super Bowl advert, and they did, like, spend all this money. They got massive VC funding. They had Newegg accepting it. They had Microsoft accepting it. They had all these big players accepting it. As we got into the stage of Bitcoin on-chain doesn't scale for your $10 payments, that started to shrink, I think, and they started to get hit. So they started to try and pivot to a B2C model rather than B2B model in with their BitPay wallet and things. And gift cards, they pivoted to like a gift card mentality thing as well. And then they got hit with the sanctions, and then that's kind of just squeezed the hell out of them.
Did you hear that thing? I don't know how recent it was, but Saylor saying that payments is a distraction.
Yeah, I've seen a lot of that recently.
Is it? Do you think Saylor's that's
purely going down the store of wealth route now and saying that payments are, just like Dave says, a distraction?
He did that. He is doing Lightning services through MicroStrategy, though.
And he was pivoting MicroStrategy to a Lightning services.
Yeah, which he still is. That was part.
Were they not becoming a mining solution?
They were trying to use Lightning payments to do for miners. Right. I think now, but originally it was Lightning payments for what you call it, like rewards.
Okay.
Like Starbucks rewards and things like that. And then now I don't know what's happened to that. That seems to have been fell off a cliff now. I don't know.
Do you think he was just specifically talking about MicroStrategy being distracted by that?
I've not listened to him, so I don't know what he said on that. I'd have to listen and see what he said.
I just heard a clip and I was a bit like, ugh.
Was this the one in Vegas?
I don't know where
it was. It was on like a CNBC or something like that.
No, that was that's an interview from like a year ago.
Was it?
Yeah, yeah, that's an old interview, I think. He did one in Vegas recently and then they were talking about stuff on that. So it'd be worth listening to that one, I think. It should be more up to date.
Right. It might have been an old clip, that one.
I think it was. It was a 2023 clip from something, I think.
Because it kind of contradicts his actions.
But yeah, sorry, we're just on the problem. We've gone off on tangent here from Candy Jets.
Oh, yeah, that's what we were talking about.
But I would love to start getting a proper indication of how many like websites accept Bitcoin payments. Like, we know we've got...
Who are you expecting to do this?
Anyone in the community. We can go enough and try and figure this out, but time and everything else and what's our benefit. It's more of an interest, isn't it, really? But we know we've got... What we at 3,000-4,000 merchants that are have accounts, not necessarily have websites that accept Bitcoin payments, because that's a slightly different thing.
That's true.
So we've got maybe towards 4,000 merchants within our customer base. Then we probably have, what did I say? Was it 250 with Bitcoin on the balance sheet? And we've got a lot that might accept Bitcoin, but not necessarily have a website where they accept it. So they might accept it via like email invoices and things. And then we have the websites as well, which I don't know how many websites. I have to go back through and count them all again, won't we, and see how many we've got.
Because there's no comprehensive source about everyone that's...
Outside of our database for our own customers, no, we can get that source ourselves. Yeah. But outside of that, no. It's
Do we get good feedback on the CandyJet stuff?
Yeah, incredibly good feedback. Positive from the community. And also from CandyJet themselves.
Oh, really? They've been in touch?
Yeah, I had an email actually yesterday saying that they had a lot of outreach, a lot of inquiries off the back of the announcement, and also just a lot of people messaging them.
Bitcoin is getting private jets now. Times have changed.
Already, they have been for a long time, haven't they?
Yeah, but also just people reaching out in general, just to basically congratulate them and say that it's a good move. So, yeah, they're keen to...
They're an example merchant for us that don't have it on the website.
Yeah.
But you would have to have an email invoice to make the payment for that, which is kind of like, that's what I'm trying to explain before, just help people understand that and what sort of merchant would be accepting Bitcoin but not have it on their website.
Yeah. It's so easy to accept Bitcoin, whereas having a dev set up all the back end for having a checkout.
If you can buy the product on the website as well.
You can just do it straight through sending a wallet. It's much easier, isn't it?
If we've got an accountancy firm that just bills their clients, then they're not going to have a website where you go and do it because it's just not worth it. They'll just email their client with an invoice and click a link and get them to pay. So that's, sounds odd when we say we've got so many thousands of merchants, but actually only a small percentage of them accept it on the website. So that helps clarify.
Yeah.
Thanks, CandyJets.
Yeah. So really, really great announcement. Excited to be partnering with them.
Cool. Just before we move on, more people are using Litecoin on BitPay than Bitcoin.
Yeah.
Seems weird to me.
It's
been a while, hasn't it?
A few times now. You can't pay with Bitcoin, an external Bitcoin wallet. You have to pay with a BitPay wallet.
Yeah.
So it's only BitPay users that are paying at BitPay. So your customer base demographic there is now skewed.
It's not really Bitcoiners. And
biased, because most Bitcoiners will not want to pay that way. Not want to use a BitPay wallet. So it's a bit skewed because they did even add Lightning, didn't they? BitPay. And it was a big thing about it was about a year ago, was it? And they added Lightning. But that's absolutely pointless because everything's an internal database change because you've got to pay with a BitPay wallet. So I'm not sure how they paid with Lightning on that.
You don't have to do any on-chain payments anyway.
Yeah.
Do you think they just announced Lightning? Because it's all internal. Call this Lightning.
Yeah.
Release.
So I'm not entirely sure what happens with that.
And also, if you're holding Bitcoin and Litecoin, you're going to use Litecoin, aren't you?
For a payment.
Old Gresham's law right there.
There's no on-chain, so it's like this will all be internal database movements, I assume, for these payments as well. So I don't understand exactly what's happened with this at the minute. I'd need to dig into it more, but I also don't know if it's worth the time to figure it out.
People are still using Bitcoin more than twice as much as ETH.
Do we like BitPay though? Do we not?
No.
We love
what?
BitPay.
What? Where have you got that from?
They put Lightning on.
What?
We love that.
We don't know if they did it at the minute. So.
Doing great for the industry. Oh, come on. They're better than Coinbase.
No.
Are you being sarcastic?
You weren't around back then. BitPay were the enemy.
This was pre-Dave.
It was BitPay.
Were they big blockers?
It was BitPay that tried to drive the big block.
Light the fire.
Because BitPay...
Get some intensity.
Get it going.
Yeah, yeah, no, that's what we want. That's this is what we want.
Not my first podcast set. poke the bear. Oh, so we don't like BitPay?
No, we're a big fan of BitPay.
Oh, okay.
So BitPay were the big blockers back in... So that... It messed up their business model because Bitcoin transaction fees were increasing and the blocks were 1 meg. They needed cheaper fees for payments. So they were trying to push the big blocker route and trying to get big blocks to then help their business model. So they were choosing their business model over the thingy of Bitcoin, success of Bitcoin, which then in turn would have killed their business model eventually anyway. So it was a stupid thought process of them, but they were backed into a corner and had to do it.
Mm-hmm.
So I love BitPay, yeah.
Cool.
Thought that was the case.
Moving on. Joe Biden again. He's ordered crypto mining operation to shut down because it's less than 1 mile away from a nuclear base and is backed by Chinese owners and never got proper clearance to set up there.
Is that just a generic ruling about companies near nuclear bases and we've been dragged into that?
I think it is.
Yeah, right.
Yeah. It was a bit of a sweeping one. I don't know, but...
I would say
headline clickbait, great story, but I think it's more
is it BBC
of
just trying to force crypto into every news story because they know it gets eyes.
I think any probably Chinese-owned business operating near a nuclear 100%. Plant is probably going to get kicked out.
Really, the headline for that should be unauthorized company can't open near nuclear power plant.
So I think it's a bit of a silly one.
Yeah. I know America have been doing this with a lot of, because Chinese companies have been buying quite a lot of property near military bases and they've been doing this to a lot of them. It's not just mining companies. Yeah.
Okay. So it is that then?
Yeah.
Right. I didn't know they've been buying near them. That's interesting.
Yeah, they've been buying businesses and properties.
Have they just been buying or is it properties? Specifically
if you look
near
at the heat map of where they are in relation to military bases, it is quite a strange one.
But America has a lot of military bases.
It does.
Most towns have one. Do they not?
But well.
So and most towns have most homes. So is it correlation causation situation, or is it just the fact that the more interesting fact is the amount of property China are buying up? Anyway, I haven't seen the heat map. That's interesting.
Yeah, I've seen it in a video. So I'll see if I can find it. I'll map it over.
Yeah, that's that's intrusive bit of data though, isn't it? Who's put that together? A heat map of all military bases and Chinese owned property.
it's very specific, isn't it?
It's weird.
Well, it'd be public.
I don't know what you've got access to, Mikey, but I'm now slightly suspicious of you.
It would be public information, you have to assume, wouldn't it?
Yeah, but this guy's got. Yeah, has it though? Has it? Well, show me the public information, Mikey. I'm starting to think we got.
Well, land,
Snowden-esque
land
NSA clearance or something. Or
land deeds.
Some WikiLeaks author right on in our midst.
Land deeds are public, aren't they? And then I assume they are in the UK and that side, aren't they? But then,
How public are they? Are they pretty public actually?
Yeah, you can see the owner, I think, can you not, of the land?
Yeah, but they don't have to be.
I think now you're making me question this now. Oh,
I'm down a very weird rabbit hole here.
Yeah.
Well, Mikey's taking us there. Blame the producer.
And the military bases are not exactly, you can hide them, can you?
but
a military base in the middle of your town, you didn't notice it.
You safely cordon them off.
Yeah, but you know they're there.
What's that building?
Area 51.
There's a great example of a building in New York that no one knew was a military building. It looked like a normal tower block, but actually, when you look at it, had no windows or something. You must know that one.
Had no
windows. I don't want to go down this. Yeah, it was literally, you look at it and you go, oh, that's just a normal building. But then it was like, oh, no, it's not.
Okay.
Some sort of conduit for a military thing or a government thing.
Should we move on to that topic?
Nice one, Mikey. heat maps of Chinese owned properties.
I haven't spoken for like 3 minutes, Dave. You just
thought you'd absolutely drop
I've been trying to find a map of the heat map.
That you thought was just such public information.
Please. I've seen it. I'll lay it over. I'll find it somewhere.
Okay, moving on. El Salvador government says it owns 5,750 bitcoins. That was a tweet. That was.
How much is that now? Yeah, because that
$353 million, it says, according to Bloomberg.
But they're quite public on their ownership, aren't they? They've got a website that shows you how much they're buying, do they?
They have, recently, haven't they?
I think this is the first time they've said the full figure.
Oh.
Yeah.
I thought there's a website. I thought there is a website.
There's BitcoinTreasuries.net.
I saw on Twitter that there's a website for it now.
For El Salvador?
Mm. Oh, right. No, okay.
There, that, to try that.
So it must be his
website to track that.
So previously they hadn't announced, we had a wallet address, which we think we had some in, but they didn't say whether that was all of it. And obviously it wasn't all of it because they've got more.
This is just Memspace's website though, is it?
No, go back.
Oh, they just
mempool.
Yeah, they're just pulling it in, are they?
Yeah, I think so.
So they've just pulled in, it's defaulted to an address, I assume. So that's 5,750 Bitcoin there.
But yeah, I think this is just Memspace's website, and they've just
Included
19 hours ago they introduced a proof of reserves website.
Node 202 mempool.space.
This is it. They've just effectively like white labeled it. And if you scroll up, you've got they've like done it so it's their address basically is there.
Yeah.
And the history and everything and all that is there.
It's quite cool though, isn't it?
Yeah, that's quite good.
Proof of reserve for a nation state. I mean, if you asked...
There's just their one a day that they do, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
One a day. Still doing one a day. That's cool to see.
Yeah.
They're also mining now. Did you guys see?
Yeah. The volcanic.
Operational?
Yeah,
volcanic energy, yeah.
They've, I think they said they got like 464 total so far.
Mm.
This is only this morning's news, this. Yeah, 474 using geothermal volcanic energy.
Which is quite a lot.
It is. I mean, to have mined
already.
When did it come online? Accumulated over
3 years.
No, that's the holdings.
The mining was only like last year, I think, when it kicked off properly.
Since 2021.
That's when they announced it.
They've mined a few more Bitcoin than we have, haven't they?
They only announced it back then. Actually, no, they only announced volcanoes in like 21.
Molly's throwing shade at our heating project that's mining Bitcoin.
I'm not. I'm just stating facts.
I just think the volcano,
they've just mined a few more Bitcoin than we have. That's all I said.
The slight inflection in her voice was like purely dismissive. It's like, look at your little pile of Bitcoin compared to us.
What a poor attempt that miner was in the corner.
Hmm. All helps, Molly.
It's really cool now. We've got actual, like you say...
Proof of reserve for a country is cool.
It's good, isn't it?
You asked Japan to do that.
Yeah. But that's a significant amount as well, $350 million. You know, Bitcoin price doubles, trebles, quadruples, whatever, then you are looking... They've got a massive portion, which will pay off... What's their debt at the minute? Because that was the whole thing, wasn't it, about paying off the debt?
The IMF debt.
Was it $500 million or is it more?
Did they not just recently have to extend that?
$179.5 million.
I think it's more than that. I'm sure it's more than that. That might be the one of them, and then they've got a multiple of them. But anyway, sorry.
They'll get out from under that eventually.
But they'll be able to
country to do so.
Pay off using Bitcoin if they wanted to, of course. Mm-hmm. As well, they could just continue just paying it off, drip feeding it back into them.
True, actually.
And not bother doing it. Yeah. You would do that. You'd use the Bitcoin to pay off over the next 10, 20 years, and not. Then take anything more because you don't need it because you've got the Bitcoin to survive.
Take out a loan on your Bitcoin.
Which is effectively what they're doing.
Bitcoin back loan just to pay off the IMF.
Yeah. Good job.
That is next level.
Cool. So Renaissance Tech, founded by late Jim Simmons, is long Bitcoin.
Oh, yes.
Right. Jim Simmons.
Renaissance Tech?
Well, who's Jim Simmons?
Well, yeah.
That's the question, because this has only come on my radar the last few weeks.
I call him Simons.
I didn't say that.
No, a lot of other people call him Simmons.
Do they?
As well.
Yeah. Simmons would be double M.
Simmons is normally double M.
Yeah. We're now arguing over how you pronounce his name.
Yeah, let's leave that. I can pronounce Jim.
Yeah. Jim.
Jimmy.
But were you aware of Jim Simons?
I'd never heard of him, no. I saw something about a chat.
Yeah, he came into the chat. That's where I first saw him.
So Jim. I'm aware of him, and I know a lot more about him recently. But
if his returns were that good...
They are.
If they were that good, surely everyone should have heard of him.
Everyone has heard of him in the traditional financial world and hedge fund world. Well, I think not. I can't say everyone's a sweep.
Molly works in TradFi and she's never heard of him.
We're not TradFi.
Molly works in
Bitcoin.
Fi.
Future Fi.
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 Yes.
He
So yeah, he has got so Medallion Fund is his one that's been the great return over the last 35 years or something like that. And it averaged at like
show chart of the return. You showed me this other day. I was like, what?
It's crazy. The year each year has been like averaged at like 34%.
But there was red flags in it because you have to be involved in that fund, which is outperforming everything else ever. You have to be an employee.
Was this
or something?
The one that you shared, Danny?
Yeah, that was, I think, what I shared. Yeah.
Did you say they had to be an employee?
So they don't take. So originally they started out with external money, I think, and then but then over time that slowly changed, and now you can't invest in the fund. The fund is only available to the employees at Medallion or at the Renaissance.
That's weird.
Company. It's incredible. It means they've got like the amount of billions. I think it's something like $50 million. Per employee average, what they hold in the fund.
Some nice bonuses.
Very wealthy. Well, it's all their money.
It's their money.
It's their money. So they're all like millionaires that work in that.
So it's just that's just split down. Their returns just get split down between.
This is why it's so weird.
Because I thought they'd still be salaried, and then it would just be their like execs would get.
Yeah, they're salaried, but the money in the fund is input by the staff. So you can only they don't take any external money. So it's like say we did one at Coin Corner, we did a fund and said, right, you guys all put your money into this.
So the staff have pooled the funds. And
yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So the billions that they have under management is all the staff.
It's all that.
Which averages.
But I suppose we're thinking of like typical office staff, but it won't be at all. It'll be special scientists as specialisms.
Mathematicians, I think, quite heavily. And I don't know these days. I'm talking from like when they first started in the 80s and 90s and going through. They were like, he's a mathematician. They're all. He built a team of clever people that were doing. It was when like data analysis, sort of quantitative trading was first becoming a thing. And they kind of
dominate that edge anymore. I mean, look at his returns.
They dominated during the financial crisis as well.
Yeah.
That's why it's too close to be real.
Only negative year in 1989.
Someone needs to give me some evidence or say this is all rubbish. I just don't believe those returns.
You have to have a Google and find out, but it's a very well known. He's outpaced Buffett and everything. So
yeah, but they're mad off. They're all Bernie flags, are they not? I just think it's a bit.
Well, no, because if it's other people's, if it's the staff's, if it's the company's money and the staff's money,
then that's
not, if it was external money coming in, then yeah, but otherwise they're only screwing themselves.
Unless they employ thousands of people every year, in which case.
Put your money in, right, see you later.
Yeah, that's what I mean. Like, yeah.
I don't know how they manage that.
I see stuff like this and go,
I don't know what year it was as well, because I think originally they were taking external investment when they first begun, I think, but I don't know when they moved that over to staff.
And I suppose it's made our headlines because they hold Bitcoin.
It's made headlines because he died last week, unfortunately.
Right.
But then obviously, now this week it's come out, or today or yesterday, whenever it was, that they hold a chunk of Bitcoin.
Do you find out what their other investments are? How's it come out that they hold Bitcoin?
Because on the ETF filings, is it? On the S30 and whatever it is over there, they've bought X amount.
Yeah, X amount of Grayscale and BlackRock.
Okay. But we don't know what else they're involved with because it's less.
You probably will be able to because you'll be able to. Unless, if it's big positions, depending on. No, it's all. I think it's all public. And originally, I think they started more in FX and commodities. And then I don't know now if it's shares or what. I don't know. I don't know enough about that detail.
Right.
I tried to get in it a couple of years ago. I do remember.
You apply for a job and they turned you down.
Because it cropped up in the Bitcoin world about 2 or 3 years ago, I think, as well. And that was when I first
This guy can't even convince the Alemán government to buy Bitcoin. It's no good for us.
Yeah, he's not going to come work here. No, you can't add two and two anyway.
Yeah. Interesting to see that they're capped at $15 billion, the fund.
Is that what it's capped at?
Yeah, so it's worth noting that the CAGR is theoretical as the fund is capped at around $15 billion.
Right.
Excess returns being returned to investors each year. I assume the investors are the staff in this case.
As far as I'm aware, there's like to actually invest in it. I think they have some Medallion Fund, not ETFs, but like I don't know what they call them. Like it's tried to clone it in some respect or hedge against its value, I think, in some way. I don't know. I did find a few of weird setups of things, but yeah, you can't actually get into it.
Oh, so the capping kind of skews the figures a little bit, doesn't it?
Potentially. This is like what you're saying, because it's private and it's not. There's no investors to report to as such outside of the company. They could just say, oh, yeah, we made, like, you could say, for example, they've got a $10 billion assets under management, but actually they've only got 10 million actually invested in anything at the time, because the rest of it's in cash. And on that 10 million, they've made a 50% return on some random thing. So their fund has returned 50%. But yeah. So they have no idea. They could be playing them games. I imagine if they were playing them games, someone would have already pulled them down by that now on this. And I've not seen anyone do that. So unless you can do that, Dave.
Dave could be the man.
I haven't got the time or energy, really.
we can tell from the response. So, right. I mean, he is a legend going down in history, I think, for what he's achieved.
Has he got a book?
He does, yeah. But he doesn't. He was involved in helping write it as such, but it wasn't his. Right. It was a journalist that did it and wrote
it. Maybe
have a read of that.
Access point. Cool.
Okay. That's the end of the agenda, but we've just got a one dear Dave this week.
So after the way you've printed out, that still really irks. Got all that black ink. So it costs money, you know.
I've got it printed in colour, but I chose not to. I chose to be eco-friendly and print it black and white.
The printing is turning, by the way, Dave.
Well, I'm not surprised. Look at that.
Just thought I'd choose now
I know what you're doing. Seen that. I know what you're doing there.
Office manager Dave, come on. All right. Sort it out.
Okay. Jeez. Question for the pod. I'm seeing this from Gemini users. Do you think they're trying to implement this to comply with current or future regulations? Do CoinQuant have any plans to do this also? So he sent a screenshot of an email from Gemini, and it's basically saying a review of your recent account activity showed regular deposits of fiat and one-way trading patterns where you deposit funds. Can you please explain the following? And then it's asked a couple of questions. So yes. Do we think they're trying to implement this to comply with current or future regulations?
And none of us can see what this email says, can we? So we don't know what you're saying.
But Molly just read it.
Yeah, okay.
I just read out the main point of it.
But I wasn't listening.
Well, that's a you problem then, isn't it?
No, I was listening, but I roughly know what
it sounds like. Your basic AML question, isn't it?
Yeah, dear Dave, anyway. I'm
yeah, but it's your Molly's your basic AML question. Okay. They've heard that person's probably hit some thresholds and has triggered some questions that Gemini have to ask. I mean, it's the same with us.
Yeah. It says, does have CoinQuant any plans to do this also? I think we already do it, don't we?
We have to.
Yeah.
I've hit checks before.
Yeah.
And I work here.
It'd be potentially an ad hoc. So, for example, this one, someone puts on Twitter, everyone jumps on it, abuses them, and unfortunately, it's regulations in some respects, but you don't know what that regulation is in that respect. There's not a regulation that says when you have withdrawn 5 times from your exchange, the exchange has to ask you something. They don't do it like that.
They have to do an ongoing monitoring.
It's ongoing monitoring under the company's policy, and the company, as long as the company is comfortable with you being a customer and operating the way you are, then they probably wouldn't ask questions. If they think, okay, you've done X amount and we're not sure what you're doing, then they're asking the questions to understand what you're doing and making sure you're not doing anything illegal. So that's theoretically all they're doing. It could be maybe worded slightly nicer. It could be, you know, if a customer of ours is sending in every month or every week, whatever that says, and buying Bitcoin and withdrawing the Bitcoin to their cold storage, then that's a great customer for us. That would that's an ideal customer in some respect there. So we wouldn't really question too much probably on that in that respect.
If that pattern changes though, right?
If the patterns change and there's like, yeah, people get flagged up, but they, for example, Gemini may not know that they're withdrawing to cold storage. So they may be asking, is this going to cold storage? You just have to respond, yes, it's going to cold storage. And then Gemini might be then comfortable with that.
Yeah.
So it's on Gemini and it's on the company internal policies.
Some of them aren't that nefarious. It can be like you are trying to protect the customer in a way. And it's hard to do that. It's hard to do that without being too intrusive.
We did this in the last couple of weeks.
Was it the last episode?
Yeah, we talked about why, for some reason, we wouldn't send. It was when Kraken was stopping some deposits or something like that.
So Kraken had been asking the same thing.
Yeah.
So it is. It's to protect customers from like even romance scams and stuff like that.
Some of them are. Yeah. But yeah, I don't know about Gemini. I can't speak for Gemini because we don't know what's going on there. But.
Great question, though. Yeah.
Always happy to answer these questions and clarify.
Do we have any others?
Just the one this week.
Okay. Cool. Sound.
Right.
Anything else?
Cool.
No.
And can we anything happen at Coin Corner?
Getting excited for Bitcoin Pizza Day next week.
Is that next week?
Oh, yeah.
22nd, isn't it?
It sure is. Next Wednesday.
Week today.
Wednesday, week today. We'll have to get pizzas on the pod.
I know, because I know I know you like it as your, it might be your favourite Bitcoin day.
I ordered a shirt yesterday that arrived. It says Pizza Club on it. That's how excited I am.
And which is fine.
Shall wear on
the pod. Fine, really?
That is fine. It's fine. Who am I to judge what people are wearing? If you want to enjoy that and do that,
Bitcoin and pizza, two of my favourite things.
Yeah.
Okay, so together in a day.
In a great t-shirt. Can't wait to see it. Do you obviously wear it for the pod so everyone can see it?
Yeah. If we record the pod next Wednesday, that's the thing.
Yeah.
Should do.
Should be, yeah.
Oh, if we do it on pizza day, we could get
I can order one for you in time if you
No, thank you.
Okay.
Same size.
I've just never been a mega fan of the pizza day. I don't know why. In terms of
what's your favorite day in Bitcoin?
I don't think I have one.
Yeah.
Today is my favorite day in Bitcoin.
It's a piece.
It's a journey. We're carving out the future.
It's a piece of history. The pizza day, isn't it?
Yeah.
I get it. But
put some respect on Laszlo's name.
Yeah, I just think marketing have to cling on to these things in order to push something out, as in content, right? Wow. They do. That's unfortunately that's the way that even media have to do it, cling on to these things. And the reality is, it's about the future, not about the past.
But you don't see me getting excited about Bitcoin White Paper Day that much. Like that's a great marketing opportunity.
No, it isn't, because it doesn't have the appeal. Pizzas do. There's more of a hook. That much is obvious.
If anyone's still listening to this, I'm glad. Anyway, praise the Lord.
Anyway, let's all enjoy it.
See you next week to celebrate that day. Yep.
All right, cheerio.
Cheers, guys.
See ya.
Shit on Bitcoin Pizza Day.
Just did.
Best day.